Accession number 20459, Reel 11.
Captain Spencer, Reel 11. You were saying that your bicycle had been dragged round the corner.
Yes, it was still round the pedals, it was still caught, and I hadn't been able to unravel it. But as soon as they got round the corner, obviously they stopped reeling in the drum, and I was sort of shaking my fist and like this, and I then quickly unraveled the wire, not without a certain amount of difficulty. Decided that to go back the way I came wasn't probably. And they were Italian workmen, so they didn't look so much dangerous. So I got on my bicycle and rode towards them, shaking my fist and, you know, doing this, and they all whatever they said, I don't know, but I.
So you gesticulated them, they gesticulated back at you.
Yeah. And so I drove on. And although this was a fairly deserted part of the country, I saw a farmhouse on the left-hand side of the road, and I had, on the last two or three days, gone into an isolated place and asked whether I could have some food. They obviously discovered that there was a lot of people thought I was probably a German or escaped Russian or whatever they may be. And I would get some polenta or a bowl of something, so I was getting encouraged that maybe I could do this. And food was always a problem, and although I became quite an expert at robbing places, it wasn't, especially if the dogs about, it wasn't very satisfactory. So I went into this place, and they were looking at me very strangely, obviously, because although my Italian was getting better, it was obvious that I wasn't Italian. And so I was shown into a barn and was escorted by two of the sons of the house, where one left, and they did bring me a bowl of milk and bread. And I thought, well, I better finish this very quickly. I'm not, you know, too happy. I've been a bit probably risky without doing this, that, and the other. And I suppose about 20 minutes had gone by, or half an hour, when suddenly three armed Germans dashed into the blind in a very threatening what's name, and saying, and they were shouting, "Ruski, Ruski." And I said, "Oh no, 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 Inglese." And at that, the woman who'd come in with them was horrified. She obviously was sorry that she'd betrayed a British rather than... Because there were lots of Russians. I'll tell you more about the Russians in this area afterward. But they were the terror of the area. So I was therefore escorted away, having lost my bicycle, unfortunately, which I regret. I said, well, does anybody want to buy it? But nobody seemed to take much interest. So I was then taken, and just virtually round the corner was the start of down a little bit of a hill was the start of quite a town, and the barracks was, you know, within a quarter of a mile or less to where I'd been, so that again, that was foolish of not to research the area a bit further.
You hadn't realised the town was there?
No, I hadn't realised the town, you know, it was all wooded area and this, that and the other. I normally would look round and go past it, but as I was very hungry. So anyway, I was then paraded down the street and taken to a door, quite a largest house in the door, and a officer of some kind came out and shouted something at me, this, that and the other, and he said something, and I was taken away to an even bigger house somewhere. And I was then one escort only, a sergeant, took me up to quite a palatial, a nice looking house, a palatial office, where there was a German, I would say, very much of the old school, because he was obviously the town equivalent of the town major. He was, I imagine, both educated, certainly looking very aristocratic. Anyway, he got up and shook my hand, and you know, said, "Who?" And I said, "Well, I'm an English officer." And but again, this interview was in a mixture of a touch of English, touch of Italian, and everything else. I said, "Well, I can only give you my name, rank, and rum." And he said, "Well, yes, that's all right, so and so." And he said, "Have you had anything to eat?" So I said, "No, I haven't had anything to eat for bloody days, apart from a bowl of milk." He said, "Ah." Anyway, he called the sergeant in. And, oh yes, I'd been temporarily in the barracks for half an hour or so, or an hour. And he obviously gave this sergeant a really severe dressing down.
For not feeding you?
For not feeding me, and not feeding us. Anyway, so anyway, we shook hands again, and I thanked him very much. I thought, well, you know, maybe I've been wasting my time wandering around all this bloody country or getting good treatment. Anyway, then the sergeant, who could speak some Italian, he said, well, I just don't understand it. He was a Russian.
Who, the...?
The sergeant was a Russian in the German army.
Yes.
And he said, I thought we were supposed to be enemies. He says, I got a right bollocking for you. And I said, you know, you're supposed to be the anyway. He said, I'm told I'm to give you a very good feed, you see. So we'll go to the sergeant's mess. So he went to the sergeant's mess, where I sort of everybody crowded round, and he was saying who I was, and they all ha ha ha, and this, that, and the other. And we went there, and they gave me a beer and sat me down to a beautiful stew. Absolutely fantastic, which I ate, and I got some more and another beer. So I thought, oh Christ, this is really very nice. They took me to a wire cage that was in a part of the building. It wasn't a cell, it was sort of obviously where they put the odd prisoner. And I was given two bottles of beer, about a pound of tobacco because I caged a cigarette, and some papers to light the cigarette on, and people coming around and all waving and everything else. I thought, oh God, this is really very comfortable here. It's very, very nice. However, I was only there for... I don't think I was there for that night. Now, I went in the afternoon. I was loaded onto a truck, an open truck at the back, to be taken into Udine itself, with sort of waving farewell from my newfound friends, including the sergeant as well. And as we were going along, I was wondering whether I could possibly jump off the truck. But it looked to be going a bit fast, and we were going over a number of rivers. I wonder whether I could stand on the truck and dive in the river, all sort of fairly dramatic stuff.
Was there anyone in the back of the truck with you?
Oh yes, there were two armed guards in the back of the truck, and one in front and the so.
You were the only prisoner in the truck?
Yes, I was the only person there. So we eventually got into where, I didn't know it at the time, I was went into, but was handed over to the SS. And
in Udine?
Hmm?
In Udine?
In Udine itself. Mm.
How did they treat you?
Well, I'll tell you, they were a very fierce and vicious, and the particular officer was extremely well dressed, but an absolute SS man. I mean, he needs black uniform and everything else. But at this time, unfortunately, the RAF decided to bomb the area. And that got them even more upset, especially when they, you know, I was an English, what's his name. And the officer, who had a baton in his hand, slashed me across the face. And so I immediately went for him. I, you know, swung, but unfortunately I never got him. He swayed out of the way, and the other thing, a rifle butt hit me here. I've still got the broken bone there.
And the rifle butt hit you on the left side of the jaw.
No, he hit me on the right side.
Yes.
He went like that, so he sits here.
Yes.
But then I went to hit him like this across the desk, but this fellow with the rifle also hit me here, which broke a little bone there.
Yes.
And I had another hit on the head. I think it was a rifle butt coming down or something. And then I was on the floor, and they were all kicking me as the bombs were going on. I, you know, obviously tried to bunch up to start. Apart from the teeth and this bone, bruises and nothing very much. But they dragged me out on my feet. Down a few steps into the streets. I was trying to keep my head from banging on the ground. Come on. So anyway, they allowed me to stand up. So I said, well, what's happening? And they said, oh, well, you're going to be shot tomorrow. I said, well, yeah, yes, you're going to be shot tomorrow. So we march off down the street, and I've got the name of the prison they've taken me to. So I'm not feeling very happy about it. And we go in through this huge door into the so-and-so, and the cell door is open, but it's filthy dirty. And I said, I'm not bloody well going in there. I said, I'm a British officer. Get somebody to clean that place out. That's not on. So they look at me in astonishment and take me down the corridor, and somebody does sweep out the cell, which wasn't anything like the condition of the other. So I banged in this. I thought, well, that's a small victory anyway. And I'm given a cup of coffee of some time. Don't have a very happy day at all. I'm getting rather cross. Oh, this is bloody unfair. One, I'm far too young to be shot. Two, nobody's going to know what's happened to me, and that's not on at all. Very unfair. So I spent a very, very sleepless night, and the following morning there was sort of marching steps of a group, obviously more than one person, coming down the long corridor, you know, my knees are, I'm standing by the side of this bug, my knees are chatting. And I'm saying to myself, can I actually manage to walk to the door? I thought, well, you know, it's so unfair, because I can say, oh, please don't shoot me, please don't, oh, you bloody bastards, nobody's going to know. I can be brave or cowardly, nobody's going to know. Anyway, the door was slammed open. Crack. This fellow with a smizer and a gun there, and he's shouting at me. And I say, up yours too, up yours, you fucking bastard. And this goes on for some time, and then he stops and slams the door again, and a bolt shoots home. And they march away again. I think, oh Christ, when we come in, there was a bullet mark, looked like a bullet mark wall when we came in, so that wasn't very encouraging. Anyway, there's no really communication, but there is a cell next door which is sort of the window is there and the block goes there, so you can just sort of almost shout through the gap. And the fellow in there was an Italian, and I said they were going to shoot me this morning. He said non badere, sparare domani, which meant that, well, never mind, they'll probably shoot you tomorrow. So I said, well, thank you very much. You see, however, that was a very unpleasant day. But somehow I felt, well, they haven't shoot me this morning. Maybe they won't shoot me tomorrow. So the same process came back. I don't think so many people came down. I mean, or it didn't sound the same sound. So they came down, the same process. He shouted and shouted and shouted, not for so long, and then the door slammed again. Oh, well, that's, maybe I'm going to survive after all.
Did they give you anything to eat or drink?
Oh yes, you had a sort of a coffee in the morning. You had a sort of soup with a bit of. You had always a bit of bread, and then coffee in the evening. Nothing very much. But I still got my tobacco, and so I used to roll the cigarettes. And since I had an Astra, I used to stub them out on the floor. But I noticed on the second day that the bloke who came in to sweep my cell for me carefully picked up all these, what's the name, and the next day, so the following day, there were none there, because I kept them. So I opened my hand, and they were all in my hand. And I said, bread. So I managed to trade my stub ends
for bread,
for some extra bread. But then I preferred the faggots, so I used to smoke my own faggots when I was running out of tobacco. But one of the things, I was in solitary confinement. I wasn't allowed out with the other people. And a couple of times when raids took place, everybody else was evacuated, but me. They'd put the fingers up then and say, the British bombs get you bloody bad luck. And the much as I attacked the door and everything else, I couldn't do. But when I first went in, the little window in the door had a bar across and a bar there, but no bar this side.
Yes.
But they put barbed wire across it. And at night, I tried to prise it away and see whether I could get my arm down to where the
bolt was.
Mm. And so that one night they must have heard this, because they dashed down and looked at it, and by that time I was back in my bunk. So I used to make a practice of sleeping much during the day, then rattle the bars at night, so they didn't get much sleep either. I was allowed out by myself, and the commandant's room was up some steps to the side of the house, where you went up to the steps up led to the second tier of cells and to the commandant's place. And on one occasion, I used to make a point of sneaking out of the loo room, because upstairs next to the loo room was the other guard's office, and he was, having taken me up, would then talk, so I could often slip out without him knowing it. And I sort of got out, and there's an outside door which I just gently closed a little, and the commandant's office was not, and apartment was not locked, so I got through this and got into his bedroom, went to the window at the end, and one of these funny, you pull down and out, and I'd open the window, looked out, and there was the commandant coming towards me. So I and closed the window again, hastily, and there was a bit of a furor going on when I came in as to why I could get into his room. He didn't tap me, but the guards gave
They were in trouble, presumably.
Yes, they were in trouble. So, anyway, it was a useful bit of information. And on another occasion, I wonder whether I could climb up the drain pipe. So, near this balcony, I thought, well, if I could get along the balcony and get halfway up the pipe. So I sort of hold the pipe, and about 25 foot of it came away and hit the ground, so I was in further trouble with that. I mean, they beat me, but not. See, it wasn't a vicious beating at all.
Who were your guards? Were they also all the SS?
Yes, all German.
Were they army or were they SS?
No, they were. The only SS I saw was in this one unit. All the rest were all army. Hmm. And I didn't. And I never got any. I mean, I wasn't ever interviewed by anybody who spoke English.
You weren't interrogated at all?
No, not at all. Not even by the Gestapo. They wanted to know where I was and everything else. But they weren't particularly interested. Mm. I don't know whether I really had been sentenced to death. I mean, I was only told that I had. So I tried that. On another occasion, having got out of the shed, I walked down the top corridor, unlocked one of the doors, and let myself into a cell. A fellow in there, his name, Lidio Del Corso, I think. So I wanted a rundown of what the area was like. And
could he tell you?
Oh, yes, he was. There were a number of Italians there in the prison, apart from the Germans, and no English or anybody else other than their own people. And so he told me where the nearest way out of the town was. You know, I wanted to go south and this and that, that and the other. So I got quite a bit of information and what the outside other buildings were there. This place was in a square.
Was it the old town jail of UDNA that you were in?
No, it was a place for the very serious criminals. It was, I found that afterwards, when I told somebody was in there, when I went out there, they said, you must have been a very naughty boy to have been in there, because that's where they had the killers and everything else. But this was a military prison now, no civilians.
So the military had taken
That's not true, because one or two of the tenants were civilians.
Yes.
Yeah, so that, but a lot of German people there. So, anyway, there was, of course, they then discovered I'm missing. So pandemonium is breaking out. I mean, the shouting going out and people going all over there, and here am I chatting with this belly bloke. But eventually they obviously see the bolt. So they open this, and they unfortunately not only beat me up, but they beat him up as well, which is a bit unfortunate. But again, not viciously, or, you know, I mean, it was a beating, but so I thought, well, you know, we better be a little more circumspect. I mean, we're now on the same day. So I remember seeing the film, The Count of Monte Cristo, where they used the body. I thought, well, maybe I can get out of this.
By tunnelling through in cell and beyond.
No, that you remember the, he got into the sack.
Yes.
The body, so he's going to be thrown over. So I thought, well, maybe I can produce a body as well.
And get thrown into the sea.
Or at least be able to think I'm in bed and I'm somewhere else.
Yes.
You see. So I thought I might be able to get out of this commandant's window. The commandant every evening used to come to my cell and chat to me through the door. I don't know what on earth he was saying. I don't think he knew what I was saying, but he always used to come and, hello, good evening, old bastard. We'd be talking about it. He didn't speak any Italian, so we didn't really communicate, but he always used to come down. And then he would go invariably to the guards, which was inside the building. The door to the steps was in front of where the guard's room was on the ground floor, so he often used to go and chat to them. So I thought, well, maybe when he goes up to his room first, so he's probably unlocked his room, comes down to see me and goes there. So this was part of my plan. So I decided to make up this body. So I picked the straw from the mattress and wound it in so that I could make a sort of hip. I'd got the billy can, I got a mug that I could put in strategic places. And outside in the yard was the hole in the ground, which was the guard's loo. I used to practice, or I used to then start to behave myself. So I would disappear, but being that they'd rush downstairs, but I was already in bed.
Yes.
You see. So I phoned this for a few days. I was only there 10 days or so. It was all a fairly quick plan. So I decided that I'd got this figure looking quite. I got one shirt. So I stuffed the elbow, so the elbow was sticking out of the blankets. And I thought, well, that looks really nice then. So I again went up to the loo. Found myself and hid in the guard's loo. And that panic, clattered down the stairs, rushed down the corridor, and my door, I could hear my door slam with the bolt going home. Well, that's not going to do any bloody good. You know, I really can't get out of the place. So I'm standing there, and the guard marches across. There wasn't a crowd. I mean, there's not much room in this bloody place, but I'm hanging behind the door. But the guard doesn't bother to come straight in. He pees straight in over my trouser legs, but there's no light on in there. So It's only a hole in the ground anyway.
He didn't notice you.
He didn't notice me at all. So just the one, I think. So anyway, in the meantime, the commandant has come in, gone to my place and shouting and gone back. I thought, well, that's good. I suppose I could stay here all night and go back in the morning. I can't climb up the drain pipe. So has he unlocked his bedroom? So while he's up there, I've already taken my shoes off and tied them round my neck. And I dash up the wooden steps. But the door is open again, the light's shining, and of course the guard's there, so I have to
creep round it.
I have to try and close it so a shadow thrown across the balcony for where he places. I dash into his place. Obviously I can't turn the light on. I know where the other door is, so I dash through that and get to the window, and I can't remember how it bloody well opens. You know, it's managed to get it open. I think, well, quiet, I've got to be, because they're going to discover. So I leap out of the window, forgetting I hadn't put my shoes on. And it's about 20-something feet up. And I have to leap into a corner where there's a shadow, because there's another big courtyard there with the big lights on it. So I managed to land on it. Oh, Christ, it bloody hurt. Crouched down, put my shoes on. I've got a cloak, which I got before I came there, and I had got a hat of some kind. Anyway, I then march across this, what's the name, but you're in a different part of the prison here.
You're still inside the prison itself.
I'm still inside the prison itself, but this is a court where they have other workers and things there.
Yes.
The prison is only this part of the whole unit. And so I, and there's a barrier in the door, so I walk out. They have civilian workers in there, so I give a salute, and Villas looked a bit stunning. You know, I haven't seen this fellow before, so I'm watching him as I go around the corner, but unfortunately I turn so that I'm still within the building. That there's a barbed wire going down one side, it's leading back into the building. So I'm going down, oh Christ, what the hell have I done? The guards come out to look at this, probably wondering why I'm going down
that way.
And there's another guard at the end of the place, right? Well, there's nothing else, so I turn round, run towards this car, and attempt to leap the barbed wire, which is fairly high.
How high was it?
Well, I don't know, it's bloody high, but it must have been almost just under shoulder height, I would
yes.
say, just under shoulder height. So I managed to land on top of it and slide down the other side, tearing the seat, myself and my pants. There are people walking down, not many, but people walking here. This guard is then shouting, whether at me or whether the other guard, and as I go past him, this guard is looking up this way to the other guard, saying, well, you know, what are you shouting about or something? And where he is right on the corner. There's a bloke standing on the corner. I don't know whether he's going to try and stop me. All this shouting going on, so I hit him as hard as I can. Poor bugger. And gets around the corner, so I'm out of their way. And I run down the watch, and I thought, well, at any moment they can get out there, so I must get out of this road. And if you, when I go back, I can see that I wouldn't have got very far. So I leapt over a wall, which again was, you have an extraordinary amount of sort of, you know, I can't remember what the word is, but anyway, so I get over this wall, and there's a back door to this house. So I open the back door, go to the house, and the people sitting down having a meal. So I said, you know, good evening, bon appetit. Stripped out through the front door, going like mad. I've got an idea which direction I want to go to. And within a short space of time, I'm in the field. I got out of town. This is the short, well, I've been, it was fairly close, probably less than half a mile, I should say. Fall down on my hands and knees and throw the earth up in the air and say, I'm free.